Hey, Magic fans, Dante Marcatelli here from the Orlando Magic. You're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast from the guys at Orlando Magic UK. Now it's over to Paul, Garen, and Mikey. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
Hey, Magic fans, and welcome to this episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the podcast of the Orlando Magic UK. On today's episode, we are going to be discussing three lists that have appeared on Bleacher Report, looking at the wings, guards, and centres. So let's do the introductions to start with. As you'll see, Mikey's missing. He's been off colour all week, so he's resting up. Get well soon, Mikey. But let's go first of all to the Macca Master of Mirth. Gary, how you doing, mate?
Well, I've never been called that before. I'm just laughing because of how I've got my lovely camera on this computer and making you guys look good, apparently. So anything I can do to help, Paul?
Like we said before we went on air, your soft focus is helping me and G, because now everybody doesn't see quite your natural beauty in the way that they would have expected to.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. How are you, Mr. Bacon?
Doing good, actually. Yeah, I've had a good week. Yeah, it's been nice. Managed to get out and do a bit of exercise and the like. So, yeah, it's been good. I've spent some time with the granddaughter and daughter and son-in-law. So it's been nice. Yeah, we had a good week. Yeah. And now to the boyo of banter. Grant, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Like, you're expecting me to say something witty now or funny, aren't you?
Far from it. That could have been ironic. It was an ironic introduction.
Yeah, I'm all right, though. Thank you, mate. Busy week in work. Enjoying the FIBA World Cup. It's nice to get a bit of basketball back in our lives. And, you know, especially with the Magic players participating for, you know, all these nations, it's lovely to see. And lovely to see everyone doing very well, isn't it?
Well, even though we're talking about these lists that have appeared on Bleacher Report, we are going to be bringing in, talking about the performances that our guys have put in at the FIBA World Cup. So, and it's been an interesting week. It's been interesting watching. But first of all, let's get the plug out of the way. We are officially now launched with our own Orlando Magic UK Patreon page. Although we are, by the time this comes out, it will probably be available. We're just waiting on a authorization that everything's okay for publication from Patreon themselves. Subscription service, which will help support what we do at OrlandoMagicUK.com. We're not looking to make any money out of it, not for ourselves, but by doing this, the plan is that we can use it to improve the content that we provide, give away some really nice prizes and some exclusive perks to those that have subscribed. We're offering three tiers: the O'Neill, which is only £2 a month, the Anderson, which is £5 a month, and the McGrady at £10 a month. You know, we've got to pay homage to three of the greats to wear the pinstripe. And got to go with T-Mac as the greatest, haven't you? The top tier, I suppose. We'll go through. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of what we're having with each tier. You can look along as when it's all out and about. However, if you sign up during September on either the Anderson or the McGrady tier, you will be entered into our first monthly prize draw. We're giving away a full NBA League Pass subscription. It will be up and running in time for the start of the preseason. So you've got until September the 30th to be included in this giveaway, and the draw will take place on the 1st of October. So if you'd like to help us do what we do, we would very much appreciate it. If not, keep watching. We're good with that. So let's talk some Magic basketball in the loosest terms. There's been a fun set of lists come out this week from Bleacher Report, predicting the top 30 centres, the top 30 wings, and the top 30 guards in the NBA. They've also done a list of the top 100 players. We know full well that looking at the list, we'd all reorder them in some ways, but I think it's an interesting jump-off point to look at the Magic depth from this perspective. So let's start with the centres, start with the big man position. For me, this list has got some debatable inclusions. the honorary mentions were Jakob Poeltl, Zubac, Clint Capela, our very own Wendell Carter Jr., and Jeremy Sochan. The top 30, from 30 down to 1, reads Kevon Looney, Nick Claxton, John Collins, Robert Williams, Walker Kessler, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Sengun, Nikola Vucevic, Brook Lopez, Chet Holmgren. How's Chet above Brook? Don't understand that one. Aaron Gordon, not really a big man in my opinion. Jarrett Allen, Victor Wembanyama, Rudy Gobert, Miles Turner, Julius Randle, DeAndre Ayton, Draymond Green, Kristaps Porzingis, and Evan Mobley. Into the top 10. Doing a bit of a chart countdown for you there. It's Domantas Sabonis in at number 10, followed by Jaren Jackson Jr., Zion Williamson, Bam Adebayo, Pascal Siakam, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, and Joel Embiid is number 3. Giannis Antetokounmpo is number 2, and the top is Nikola Jokic. So, Gary.
Before you go to Gary.
Yes, you can now go on.
Tony Blackburn, mate. You've got Tony Blackburn, you've got the Harf. We're going to get
I've got two more of these lists, these chart countdowns to do.
And I hope they get better.
Well, Bruno Bacon next.
Ooh, Gary Davis here. So, Gary, in the off-season, we all hoped that the Magic would get someone in to provide a backup to Wendell. What we saw was Mo Wagner and Gege Bitadze return, and now into the mix comes Center Banchero. First up, how's Wendell not in that top 30 when you look at some of the names? But secondly, mate, Paolo, Goga and Mo all getting generous plaudits for their performances in the World Cup. What have you seen and liked from them in this past week?
I think first things, Paul, when you're talking about the lists here, just so I'm clear in my head, is this a predicted list?
Yes, this is their predicted list of the top 30 who will be the top performers. There was some complicated mathematical formula that they used and whatever, but...
Yeah, I don't know the positions of these players, some of them.
Because they call it centres, aren't they? Am I right? They're calling the centres.
Call it the big man. Call it the big man.
Okay.
So, yeah, I look at that, and you can look at it objectively, which I'm going to try to do, but you could also be a bit biased with it as well. So I'll try and cover both. I would say, as a homer, so if I looked at it from a biased point, you could make the argument that he's better than Looney. He's better than Claxton. From what we've seen last season, he's better than John Collins, maybe in the last two seasons. And it depends where you stand on whether Jabari Smith Jr. is going to take a leap, because he showed signs in the last quarter of last season about where he could be. You know, you can see he's a rebound and menace perhaps waiting. And then you've thrown in Chet, who hasn't played a game yet, really. Wembanyama, which he's going to feature just because of the hype that's there. Yeah. So fair enough. And you look at a potential, and I think Chet's going to be fantastic. I really do. I was on the Chet train in the draft. I still think there's a lot there in Chet. But then I'm looking at potential, and I'm thinking, well, John Collins, it's not a potential deal anymore, is it? It's whether Utah suits him or not. And then there's the argument of whether Vooch right now is better than Wendell Carter Jr. right now, and I don't know if he is. I really, really don't know if he is. Now, if I was to step back and say, take the Homer glasses off, the problem with Wendell is injuries.
Yep.
And you could look at that and say, well, if you're predicting the future, is he going to play 65 games next season? And the other thing would be exposure on a winning team. Now, there's other players there on losing teams that would blow that argument out the water, but you could put it forward and say, is he a winning basketball centre? And has he got the injury record to produce? If he's going to be on that list and make it look foolish, he's got to play the games. And I think he's got to get 10 rebounds or more, roughly a night, because that's the area the Magic are lacking, I think, massively. So for Wendell to stake his claim,
you're looking at really he needs to have a good 17 and 10 season where he's played a fair few games.
Right. Zion Williamson is 8.
Yep.
If we're talking about availability being a player's strength, how many games did he manage last season? I don't think it was anywhere near what Wendell Tripp played.
I totally agree, but it comes back to the exposure, doesn't it? Like when Zion plays, yep. New Orleans tend to win games and look like a playoff team. I think he's probably just been overlooked, if the truth's known, and they haven't seen what his game's like. Because we keep an eye on Vooch, and I like Vooch, but I don't think Vooch is where he was when we were in that playoff series against Milwaukee anymore.
Did anybody watch him today against States?
I've seen the highlights. But is he that player in the NBA anymore?
Because he was superb today. I know that when you read the reports, I watched the game live, when you read the reports, it's all about Jaren Jackson Jr. pouring 11 points in and Ant-Man doing this and Austin Reeves doing that. If you watched that game, Vooch was all over Jackson in that first quarter. Absolutely owned him. And it was when they took Jackson off and brought Paolo on that all of a sudden Montenegro's production started to drop off. Paolo had a really strong defensive game against him. And Bobby Portis as well. God, love that guy. So much fun to watch. So much fun to watch. But yeah, what's been your thoughts on Goga and Mo over the week?
So the thing I was going to add there with Banchero, Paul, I think, is that when we look at what he's done, first of all, it's the defensive side of his game. You know, that was the knock on him going into the draft last year. And I know we had a discussion on the pod and it was a case of whether it really was Paolo or whether it was the system at Duke, which it looks like it was more the system. But it's the blocks and the what he's doing in the paint is what we want more of from Paolo. Because we have lacked, without Jonathan Isaac, a rim protecting presence there. You know, we traded away Bamba for everything else. He could swat shots. So we need somebody who can step up with the blocks. And if Paolo can add that to his game next season, that'll be great. So that's what stood out about Paolo. He makes it look easy in those games. He never looks as though he's breaking a sweat or he's, you know, in effort. And when you look at him and Franz, I think the eyes of the world are starting to realise Orlando's got a very good double act, because we're starting to appear in these internet Twitter account things about who's got the best young pair. There's been a few putting Paolo and Franz together. I think with Mo Wagner, he's getting exposure with Franz out. And I noticed before we came on air that Giannis has now got both brothers signed at the Bucks.
And you've seen that?
Yeah, it's all three apparently are there now. Just the last thing I looked at before we logged on was a tweet and it said all three Wagners. All three Antetokounmpos are in the on the Bucks now. And I think what we've got is we're seeing that it's not that situation with Mo. Like, I know he got the contract and stuff with Orlando, but at least he can play. At least we're seeing that he's a serviceable, good basketball player, which from watching Magic games, we know. We know how he affects the game and what he does well. And he put up 14, 16 and 5 against Georgia. And, you know, a thunderous dunk, talking trash, that type of thing. And that's what he does well. And he's a guy who impacts the game, and he's a perfect bench player to bring in there, because he can affect games, moods, temperament, etc. Goga, I haven't watched that much of Georgia, but his stat lines in the games I've been keeping up and that have been quite impressive.
Yeah.
So you've got there two young, serviceable, one of them's going to try and stake their claim ahead of the other, and they're offer different things in the so I think it's going to be interesting to see which one of those, if not Jonathan Isaac, stakes the claim for backup minutes, or if Wendell struggles with injuries again. I think Jonathan Isaac will see some time at the five.
What do you think Paolo might get some time at the five, seeing how well he's played, in these last couple of weeks?
Positionless basketball, G, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Where I think you could see him switching with Jonathan Isaac and Franz. And I don't think Franz is going to see time at the five, but you could see those three working together on the court would be quite interesting. Or you could even push Franz down at the guard and see what they do with Wendell, GI and Paolo as well. Because GI can start three slots.
So, Gary, based on what we've seen from this trio of Goga, Mo and Paolo, plus our starting big man Wendell, who, by the way, he was an honourable mention for the Bleacher Report NBA's top 100 players of their predictions for next season. And apparently he's missed out by a whisker, was how they kind of phrased it. Are you happy that we didn't take a backup centre this summer overall?
It depends what was available as a backup centre. So if you were telling me, you know, there was rumours going around that Vooch was going to come back, there was, you know, I think Mikey was banging the drum to try and get Brook Lopez, and those types of players would move the needle for what the Magic could offer off the bench in particular, if not challenging and eventually taking the starting job. We don't know. But I think if you're looking at it as what else was available, if we didn't have Jonathan Isaac coming back, I would probably be a little bit, that's a bit risky. But I think we've got two serviceable bigs with a point to prove. We're a young team. We've got room for trades. We've got room for doing it next season. And there's always the, well, let's see what we've got. And I think it's going to just give us a bit of flexibility to think, does one or the other stake their claim? Do we alternate them depending on matches? Or does Jonathan Isaac in particular step up and either take the backup minutes or even challenge for the starting role as a centre?
Yeah. See, I love these lists, these sorts of things, because they're written for debate.
Of course they are.
Which, yeah, which is what we're doing, which is what we do here. We like to talk about these sorts of things. So, Alec. So, G, come on, anything to add, mate, on what Gary said?
No, I absolutely agree with everything Gary said there, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd just be repeating what he just said. No, and, you know, it's good to see, you know, Mo and Goga have, you know, very successful FIBA World Cups. And you know, you trust the front office, as we said many a time, and you hope that, you know, one of these two, whoever gets the nod as the backup centre, will, you know, up their game and become a reliable backup centre, which is what we need. And you know, you've got Goga on the cheap. Obviously, you've paid Mo a little bit more money. So we've still got the flexibility. So, you know, it's about finding those diamond in the rough. And I think Goga could be one of them, you know. Yeah. Very impressed with, you know, he's just in the right places. He's good hands, good footwork, just, you know,
understands his position,
winning basketball player, yeah, given the opportunity. So, yeah. No, I'm more than happy with, you know, bringing those two back and having that flexibility, which is what it's all about, and not just putting ourselves in a position where, you know, we're hamstrung by the cap.
Okay, so let's do it. Finally, on the subject of the big men, we've seen this week, understandably, a very emotional Dwight Howard, apparently taking ownership of his exit from the Magic, showing regret. So, mate, is it time for Magic fans to forgive and see him retire in the blue and white pinstripes?
Well, when I read that, was an Instagram post, I think Amy must have been cutting onions or something, because, you know, it did bring a bit of a tear to the eye. Bless him. I said it a couple of weeks ago, you know, if we had that extra roster spot, I'd have liked to see him just finish with us for all that he did for us, how good he was. You know, defensively, he was an absolute beast. You know, nobody was coming into the paint. You were playing against, you know, LeBron, D. Wade, you know, Kobe, etc. And he was changing the way the other teams were, you know, when they came up against the Magic, they knew they couldn't go to the paint. They had to find another way to score on us. And that was because of Dwight. I was at a playoff game. I think it was it the Hawks back in like 2011, 2010, 2011? I can't even remember now. But I think he put up 50 points. A lot of free throws, but carried us. An absolute man mountain of a player. And he belongs in the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame. Let's not beat about the bush. You know, he gave us some really good times. You know, it obviously did sour as he, you know, wanted different things. But, you know, time is a healer. And it's time that, you know, we brought him home, gave him a good ovation. And you want to see him in the stands at the Amway Center, you know, supporting his team, because when he gets into the, you know, the whole basketball Hall of Fame, he'll be known as an Orlando Magic player. He won't be known as an LA Laker player. Everything that he did, he accomplished. The three defensive player of the years were with Orlando. Got to the finals with Orlando. Okay, he got a ring with the Lakers, but you know, he was a bit part bench player then, and it was a Mickey Mouse.
You're still putting an asterisk to the side of that one, aren't you?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. But no, if you think Dwight Howard, you think Orlando Magic, don't you? So time to let it bygones be bygones, move on. You know, when he did return with the Lakers and the Rockets, I'd be booing him. Absolutely, you would, because you know you support the team's name on the front of your jersey, not the player on the back. Markel Fultz went elsewhere. You know, no offense, Markel. Sorry. You know, I support the team in blue and white. So, yeah. But no, let's bring him home. Give him a ceremony, even if it's a 1-day contract. It's just so he can retire as a member of the Magic. It's probably the wrong, you know, time to bring him as an extra body. Come to think of it, you know, now seeing how well, you know, that center rotation is looking. But I don't know if he did get him on a minimum, you know, I wouldn't be annoyed, because he might be able to, you know, mentor Wendell. So, yeah. What do you think?
I said it last time around. If there's a roster spot available and you've got a Dwight Howard who is willing to be a mentor and a Dwight Howard who is willing to be a teammate and not the ego, then I think he can offer something to our team, to our young guys. And look, I wasn't a fan of basketball. I started watching sort of 2010. So in fact, it was the end of the 2010 season. So I didn't see a lot of the Magic. In fact, I don't think I saw anything of the Magic particularly on what we were watching on Sky and the like. So for me, I don't really have a dog in the fight as far as memories of his exit from Orlando. So I'm kind of in the position of looking at history's history. It doesn't affect me. Do I feel he can do something for our team now? And if I do, which, if you've got the right version of this man, then I think you can. And the way he was standing and owning his behaviour.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the first time he's owned it, to be honest with you. And that just shows a bit of maturity. And I remember now when we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, it was 2-2. It was me and you said, bring him back. And our dear friends here said that we're done.
Mate, we've got to go to the flip side of the argument.
Yeah.
As was. Any change, Gary?
Not really. look, I like Dwight Howard a lot. And I'll put it in the context of how much of a Dwight fan I was. The blue jersey with where we had the star, and when T-Mac was leaving town, I bought that at NBA City Walk when they had the NBA store there.
Yeah.
Before Dwight Howard touched a ball for the Orlando Magic as an authentic, I was like, this is such a leap of faith when you're kind of like, I'm going to totally go all in on this guy. I wasn't particularly thrilled with how T-Mac left. I thought there was scope where he could have stuck around actually and gone into it with Dwight. And I was like, you know what? The King's dead, long live the King, and this is who it's going to be. And, you know, I've got Dwight Howard authentics, Dwight Howard All-Star jerseys. I've been over and seen Dwight play for the Magic, stayed up in the early hours and watched, seen what he's done. I actually think this season we got to the finals. Yeah, LeBron was supreme, but I think there's an argument there that Dwight Howard was every bit as good a player in the Eastern Conference as what LeBron James was. And if you subtracted LeBron from the Cavs, what would you have? But if you subtracted Dwight Howard from the Magic, well, we saw what happened when that happened. And the Magic went from being a perennial contender to being in obscurity for years. And the whole system was built around Dwight Howard with the shooters. The way basketball's played since was almost, that was the blueprint for that model that Stan Van Gundy had. So for me, Dwight Howard's certainly in the Magic Hall of Fame. He's a top 75 player. I did a thing elsewhere when I talked about it. It was absolutely ridiculous that Dwight wasn't in the top 75. I think his career with the Magic's better than anything Anthony Davis has done so far, as an example. I'm just picking one name there off the NBA 75. He's done so much, and I think it got to the point, and this is how sick I was, that for about 6 months before Dwight went, I was just like, just trade him. Please make the Dwight Mayer end. And when I was traveling America on the West Coast, we drove past LA on the day that Dwight went, and I was like, I don't even care, it's the Lakers. I'm not bothered. It's just, I'm sick of this pantomime. It has to go. The apology, I wasn't, nobody was chopping onions around me. You know, if there was a woman standing in my kitchen chopping onions, I'd be calling the police and saying, what are you doing? And I don't like onions either, when you're at it. But what I would say is, it's a bit of a, I accept the apology. He's owned it. I think it's brought a lot of people together through tragedy. But I always look at it as well, and I was kind of like, well, you aren't in the NBA right now, and any NBA contract is an NBA contract. And on one hand, I'm all for a one-day contract if it's not at the expense of any player who's currently on the team. But sometimes, you know, if you looked at it through the lens of an ex-girlfriend type of scenario, is it a case or an ex-boyfriend scenario? If you, you know, like, depending on what, but if you looked at it and said an ex, and you said, they've been around, they've seen everything else, and then they realize they had the best deal actually originally, and then they come back when nothing else is on the table. And I'm not being controversial when I say that, but I'm kind of like, we've grown since then, things have changed, the landscape's changed, and I get it, I accept the apology. I would love to see him back in the Magic Hall of Fame. I would love to see him on the court getting a wave, getting the number 12 retired, thrown up in the rafters. Thank you, Dwight, playing the Superman theme. Jimmy, you're out there with him, all of that. But if you said at the expense of a young player on the roster, no.
Can I just, like I say, I don't have a history with Dwight as far as the Magic go. So, but I do understand where there are people saying, no, wouldn't want him, wouldn't touch him for anything. I do understand that. There's players, there's a certain couple of players with Leeds United that I have that feeling for because of how they behaved whilst they were at the club. So I do understand where there are people who are saying, no, I don't want him anywhere near the club. And while there's still that animosity towards him, I do understand that.
I will say, Paul, when he's been at Charlotte, when he's been at Washington, to an extent Houston, etc., I've backed him, and I've wanted it. So I don't carry that bitterness and resentment.
Now I'm saying where there's others, because I'm sure that we will get comments
I can totally understand where that comes from, and it just, for me, it all comes down to livelihood. And if it meant that somebody who was a young player who was trying to get their way in the league lost out on their chance for 10 games, say, or one game even, no, if it was filling a need for us, that's a different matter, if it benefited us.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the wings then. This is a category we fare much better in. I'm only mentioning two of the honourable mentions, Dylan Brooks and Harrison Barnes. The top 30 predicted wings for the NBA, starting at number 30, is Tobias Harris, Josh Hart, Jaden McDaniels, Bojan Bogdanovic, Keegan Murray, RJ Barrett, Bruce Brown, Keldon Johnson, Kyle Kuzma. Then you have Michael Porter Jr., Cameron Johnson, Josh Giddey. Surprised he wasn't a little bit higher. Jeremy Grant, Scotty Barnes. And then our first entry at number 16 is Franz Wagner. 15, Chris Middleton, OG Anunoby, Andrew Wiggins, a bit overdone for me, DeMar DeRozan, then into the top 10. Sorry, just outside the top 10 at number 11 is Paolo Banchero. Top 10, Lauri Markkanen, Brandon Ingram, Mikal Bridges, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler at 4, Kevin Durant at 3, LeBron James at number 2, and at the top position is Jason Tatum. So, 16, Franz Wagner. He also ranked 52 in the prediction of the top 100 players for the NBA. Franz has been sitting for the last couple of games, so we can't really talk about his contribution on the international stage this week, which is a shame. Though I did notice on the commentary today that they did say he's fit and able to play. He just didn't play today because of not having trained. But the article dropped in an interesting nugget that of last season's stats, 18.6 points, 3.5 assists, 1.6 from three, and one steal per game. There are only six other players in the NBA history of his height or taller who have matched or exceeded those four marks in a 1,000-minute-plus season. So as he enters year three, what are you expecting from Franz and his position in the list? About right for you, G.
Yeah, well, let's get into the position on the list first and foremost. Looking at those players, there's is a very good list.
It is. It's hard to. This one's hard to argue, I think.
It is. Yeah. The only one perhaps I'd put him above was maybe Wiggins of that list. I could make a case that Banchero should be higher. If I'm honest with you, I think he's better than Markin and Ingram, Mikal Bridges, for example. So I'd probably put him about eight. Maybe that's with my blue tinted glasses on. But you're not.
When you're looking at the World Cup, Ingram and Bridges are both ahead of him as far as in the pecking order for Team USA.
They are. But then I suppose if you were to start a franchise, which would you want on your team?
It's a very good argument.
If you know what I mean. And you know, he's got the, you know, just on Paolo now. Paolo, you know, Paolo's got the keys. Everything's going to run through Paolo and Franz. Paolo number one, Franz number two. So having them, you know, where they are shows a lot of respect, I think, from the list makers, which is nice to see. In terms of what we expect from Franz, you know, he's played 2 years in the NBA. He's played a lot of games as well. You know, he's a warrior, as Dante mentioned last week. You know, he doesn't like to miss games. He's had the ball in his hands, which has been good. He's played when the Magic had a lot of injuries. So, you know, a guard. So he was taking over the guard role. Again, a lot of ball in the hand. So he's had a lot of decision-making responsibilities, which is only going to stand him in good stead as players grow. So the more we're going to get out of him as the season goes on, you know, the better he's going to get. And you mentioned his numbers there, Paul, you know, 18 points per game. When we drafted him 2 years ago, what was it, eight or nine, whatever it was, you know, did we think he was going to be this good? No.
Hey, no.
No, we didn't.
What was
we
everybody's didn't. Reaction to it?
Well, Cortez will tell you that, wouldn't he, Gary?
Yeah, everybody was like, really? He wasn't the player that anybody wanted.
No, absolutely. So, you know, if he can go from strength to strength, you know, shoot, you know, a little bit better, maybe get people more involved, play the games he's been playing. If gets to 20 points per game, just impact on winning. That's all we're looking for now. We feel like we've got the front court in place, especially with those two, Banchero and Wagner. And I know we're going to get onto the guards in a little bit. But I don't think you can ask any more from what he's done. Can you think of anything more that you could ask him to do? Honestly?
Honestly? No.
No.
Exactly. I suppose perhaps a better percentage from three, but is that wishful thinking? I mean,
I think that's just nitpicking, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think that you only had to watch any game last season to know that the two players that saw defensive attention above any other on the Magic were these two, Paolo and Franz, because everybody knew that these were the scorers. These were the guys. If you stop these two scoring, you stunted what the Magic could do.
And also, you know, he gets the ball at the death. You know, we trust him to put the ball in the bucket as time expires. And he's had that responsibility a couple of times. And he's only going to benefit from the experience And it's just a matter of growing with the team, with Coach Mosley. And as the team gets a bit older, we get the pieces into place. You know, I'm very happy with Franz Wagner on the team.
Absolutely. I think it's a shame he's had to sit out this week with the ankle injury, because it would be... The games that they're playing, whilst perhaps not the toughest teams, it's playing competition basketball at the highest level. But there's not many higher levels in world basketball that you can play. I would probably put the Olympics above it, in all honesty, because you look at the team that Team USA will probably turn out in Paris next year, won't be this one that we're watching this time around.
But one last point on Franz, when he plays for Germany, he's the sole focus of the opposition. He has the ball most of the time. Schröder plays, Mo Wagner plays, but Daniel Theiss, but Franz is their guy. So, you look back to last season when he was defending Giannis. I forget what the cup was. Was it the Euro Cup or something?
It was Eurobasket, it's called.
Eurobasket, that was it. But just the exposure there, and like what Gary said, earlier, people are noticing, Orlando's got these two studs on the team, and to see them 16 and 11, it'll do.
Now, we're going to talk about that other stud. I know we've already mentioned him. Gary, what Paolo did last season saw him ranked as the 40th best player in this NBA 100 list. We've already spoken about center Banchero. We've talked about his strengths and weaknesses at the four in other pods. So today, let's focus on his work ethic. You look at the year he's had. Drafted at number one, immediately goes out and plays in the pro-ams, straight into summer league, into training camp, plays 34 minutes per game in 72 games, earns Rookie of the Year, carries the team facing 2-3 defenders every possession, hits up summer league for team building with the team, is now out with USA men's national basketball team at the World Cup. What are your thoughts on his work ethic and his willingness to do things for his career?
Just before I say that, it's interesting you and G throwing studs around there. I thought it was a bit like Greece with Olivia Newton-John.
Look about it.
We're gonna have a sing song in a second and all that. G Travolta over there, But
it's Christ. Does that make me Sandy?
Well,
nobody wants to see me in tight leather pants like she's wearing at the end.
I hope we've ruined it for somebody out there. The Ross Star Wars moment from Friends, but I really hope that's the case as well. What can you say? Paolo and Franz, both, to me, you look at the work ethic of both of them. We've drafted on character. I know we had the chat before, and I'm not trying to bring the name back up, but we chatted about Grady Dick and said, was that the reason why we didn't plump for him in the draft? But we do know there's a lot of emphasis historically in the Orlando Magic organization about what your character is. And it goes beyond this regime, but I do think a lot of stock's put into that. And the Magic of knowing what they've gotten with Paolo Banchero with that number one pick when we selected him without working him out in Orlando. Jabari came into town, Chet came into town. We didn't see Paolo come through. So the organization had obviously done due diligence about what they were getting. And it was also not a great Duke setup in terms of where Duke can go. Like, gee, I think you're a bit of a Duke guy, if I'm right. And that Duke team that Paolo was in, it was kind of like the end of an era for Coach K and things like that, if I'm being right here. Yeah. So I think it was a case of who's going to be the number one pick? What are you getting? And what we're seeing is, the word in Seattle is about how good a baller and how good a leader and how good a person Paolo Banchero is. And I think we're seeing a lot of that now. And it's only going to grow. Whatever you want to say about this US team that's out there, players like Edwards, players like Bridges, players like Halliburton, Brunson, Ingram, etc. Brandon Ingram's a massive player for New Orleans. huge player. Zion Williamson, we've already said, barely played. So when it comes to relevance and producing and facing like number one options, it's usually Brandon Ingram. So these players, any of those guys could be on Team USA in an Olympic situation, and they are having that impact on him. Crucially as well, what impact is Steve Kerr's mentality from what he's been winning, having on Banchero? Because when Banchero came into the league, not his knock, but people looked at his size and saw 250, 260, 6'10", 6'11", can he play the five? And there was people saying he wasn't willing to do it. Now Paolo's talking openly about fluid basketball. And I think we're in a position where going into next season, what more could you ask for from Paolo Banchero? And it's nitpicking.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you what your expectations are from him.
Yeah.
So, where do you see, how do you see him next season? How can he improve on what he did?
I think to be more efficient.
Yeah.
Would be the big one. I think we need rebounding. And I think that needs to increase across the team. But it has to come from Paolo and France. I think that we need to see from Paolo like 8 rebounds plus a game, ideally. And if he added anywhere near like a 35% plus 3 ball, the league's got a bit of a problem with Banchero, because we know that he can shoot the three, and we went through that slump, but over the whole season, we know that he's got a 3 ball in him. It's just becoming more consistent and better. So for me, it's an efficient 20 points plus a game with improved rebounding and 3-point shooting is what I would like from Paolo.
Would you like to see him up on his free throws?
Oh, yeah, obviously, you know, free throw shooting, you know, it's 3 points, isn't it? You know, you'd like to see everybody shoot the ball a bit better at the line. And I think the Magic, as a team, did last year compared to, you know, years in the past, from what I remember. But I just wanted to throw this back to you guys. Do you think he needs to be a little bit more vocal? You know, who's the vocal leader on this team?
Cole Anthony.
You know, because we don't really see it, other than Cole.
I think you saw him increasingly talking throughout last season on the court. You don't, let's be fair, the guy was a rookie.
Yeah.
There's...
Do you know what I mean, though? The only thing I'm thinking is like a bit of leadership.
Yeah, but it takes an extraordinary amount of arrogance to come in your first year, in your first few weeks, and go, right, your lot listening to me, I'm the leader.
Yeah.
I think we saw throughout the season his leadership vocally improve and come more to the fore. I think it's a very fair point, G, that yes, you're, at the end of the day, he is the star of our team.
This is nitpicking.
But you want the star of your team to be one of those voices.
Yes.
I think we have players like Cole. We have players like Mo, who, whether they're on the court or not, are going to be speaking.
Wendell as well.
Joe Ingles.
Gary,
you've took the words out of my mouth where I was going to go. He has a huge part to play in that development of that facet of Paolo. But I think I think where he is for his time in the league is acceptable. Yeah, I think that I think that's something that you could well see. For me, I really want to see him start having, even though his free throw percentage wasn't awful, I would like to see him pick up one or two more, because they're, like you said, G, 3 points.
Yeah.
But anybody else watching this and feeling the World Cup and watching and feeling that there's points where people are almost daring Paolo to shoot from deep? I don't think it was just an impression I got in a couple of possessions, or whether it's something, because he's not playing that position. He's not playing the four to be shooting that. I didn't. So that's why I'm asking the question. It's not.
Do you think it's a one as well, where when he's been seeing minutes at the five, that he's dropping out into territory that people can't defend him in? Hmm. You know, like it's like from where I've seen it, he's had a few open looks, and you could say, okay, that's is a defence is dropping off. But by the same token, I look at it and think maybe this is all part of the plan where it's everybody's out and it's just thrown teams off.
Yeah. Again, we've not seen him play this position, and it's it was just a question I got, I'd say, from just a couple of possessions where he's been almost not closed in on, where as if somebody was more concerned at the drive than the shot from deep. But it allowed him to, one of them, it allowed him to make a nice assist, beautiful pass for somebody else. So all good. Mm. Right, it's time to move on to the guards. G has just got up out of his chair to light his pitchforks and torches, collect them all ready in advance of having a rant. Because when we go down the list of the projected top 30 guards, the Magic don't have a single mention, not even in the honourable mentions. The honourable mentions were Marcus Smart, Anthony Simons, CJ McCollum, Jordan Poole, Jalen Green, Scoot Henderson, Jalen Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, Devin Vassell, Benedict Mathurin, Jaden Ivey, Mike Conley, and D'Angelo Russell. They're the honourable mentions outside of the top 30, and we haven't got a mention in there. So this list, 30 down to number one. G's going to love this. Austin Reeves and Chris Paul, 30 and 29. Derek White, Tyler Hero, Des Bain, Klay Thompson in the high 20s, Fred VanVleet, Tyrese Maxey, LaMelo Ball, Jonte Murray. At 20, it's Zach LaVine. 19 is Cade Cunningham, Darius Garland, Drew Holiday, Jalen Brunson, Bradley Beal, Tyrese Halliburton, Trey Young, Kyrie Irving, James Harden at 11. Heading into the top 10, we've got Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray, Anthony Edwards, Dame Lillard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Top three, Devin Booker, Steph Curry, and number one, Luka Doncic. So, there's only one person that we can go to on this subject. And it's over to the Cardiff chapter and founder of the Fellowship of the False Appreciation Society. Does this give you any concerns, G, about our guard depth? And do you feel that anyone on the Magic merited inclusion? The floor is yours, young man.
Right. First and foremost, I must say, you know, the guard position, there is a lot of players here. You know, every team's got, you know, a good 2-3 quality guards on. You've got 30 teams. So you're looking at, you know, 60 to 90 very good guards. So first problem is nobody watches the Magic. You know, you mentioned it earlier. The media don't watch us. We don't get national games. And then, right, so there's a couple of them I've picked in the top 30. There was a couple in the honourable mentions, but I'm not going to bother with them. I mean, Scoot Henderson hasn't picked up a basketball yet, and his numbers in the G League Ignite weren't great anyway, were they, against, you know, inferior opposition. So I'm not even going to go there. Jaden Ivey, really? You know, right, let's pull it back. Right, so the Magic guards. So I'm going to say three that we've got. So obviously the first one is King Markell. Averaged 14 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 51% from the field, 78 at the line, 1.5 steals. Improved greatly. He's only played 191 career games. Cole Anthony, your guy. So 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 45% from the field, 36 from downtown. Again, 172 career games. I've got Jalen Suggs in there. Obviously, he's had two injury-plagued seasons, 10, 3, and 3, but we know how much of a defensive, you know, pest he is. Looking at that honourable mention list, Marcus Smart, let's be honest, he should have been in there. Anthony Simons, I think he should have been in there. Jordan Poole, maybe not. But you're looking at that 30, and there's a couple of them I picked out. Austin Reeves. Oh, my God, he's the darling of the NBA, isn't he? Oh, my life. Scored 13 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists in 29 minutes last season. And the only reason he's on this list is because he plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. Agree?
I mean,
he's in the spotlight at the moment because he had a good playoff run and he's playing for Team USA. But
I'll be honest, I said earlier to Gary when we were talking about Team USA game, I'm not going to lie, I would have liked us to have made a bit of a run at trying to pick him up because his link-up play with Paolo is phenomenal. Really good together. Really good together. When you're talking about it being projection, it's hard. I think that, I'll be honest, I think that list, the top 30, is probably quite hard to argue against. There's a couple.
Oh, I got a couple.
I know you will have. Go on, mate.
Derek White.
I knew you'd go there.
Oh, my God. I'm guessing he's in there, A, because he's Boston Celtic, B, because Marcus Smart isn't there any longer, so he'll be, you know, possibly starting. But let's just look at last year's stats. 12 points a game, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 46%. So, well, you said it's projection for this season, didn't you? So,
mate, Derek White is the one where I would say
potentially
move out. Yeah, move him. I would put some of those special mentions. Sorry, honourable mentions. Special mentions is where you go to school, isn't it? Well done for turning up.
Is that what you got?
No. You had to turn up to get those. No, I would put some of those. I would put somebody off of the honourable mentions above Derek White personally.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to make Markel's case here. He's a starting point guard. Derek White came off the bench last season. Markel's playing against better opposition. Okay, he started the season off with injuries, and then you see how the Magic ran with Markel Fultz. He was the engine. He made the Magic tick. Driving the paint, putting the right pass in the right place. Some of those passes, absolutely beautiful. First overall pick. And you got, okay, Cade Cunningham's at 19. The guy's played 76 games. Okay, his number's 26-6, but he's on a Pistons team that's got nothing else. So, granted, you know, 99% of others would have Cunningham higher than Fultz. I'm not saying Fultz should be higher, but he was only a couple of years after him's first overall pick. Is he that much better than Markel Fultz, Cade Cunningham? I don't think so. But, you know, president of Markel Fultz.
Cunningham has a lot of potential. I'm not sold on him.
He needs to stay fit, like what we've said about Wendell.
There's where I was going to go.
And Zion. So, you know, hopefully he has an injury-free season, Cunningham, and he does well, you know. But at the same time, I hope Markel has an injury-free season. And I think that we'll see improved stats there. So, you know, it is what it is. These lists are, you know, clickbait, aren't they? And they're made there to anger some fans. And obviously, we never get mentioned. So, but, you know, you look at Cole Anthony as well. He was, you know, playing like an all-star when we were struggling year before last. We thought he'd be most improved player. Doesn't even get a mention. So, you know, you put Cole Anthony on the LA Lakers, he's on this list for me.
Gary?
So I think it's a bit of disrespect, the fact that he plays on the Magic, but there we go.
Gary, can you disagree with Gene anyway?
I think it comes down to this idea of potential again, and Chris Paul's on that list. but Chris Paul's probably going to be a backup in Golden State, and his production's been going down year on year.
Yep.
Chris Paul had an awful season for Chris Paul standards last season. He wasn't good. Chris Paul did not do well last season. So I think going into next season, if you were to say, who would you rather have, would you really say, oh, I'm going to have Chris Paul over one of those guys? I don't think I would. And then you see some of the honourable mentions. D'Angelo Russell, is he on that list?
He is.
So yeah. You're telling me, like, I'm not being funny here, but you would rather have D'Angelo Russell over Cole Anthony or Markel Fultz? Because I wouldn't. I'm not being...
I'm with you.
And I'm not sitting here saying that either of them should be the top 30 based on injuries. So I look at it and I can see Cade and I can see the argument and I'm like, what? I think Cade's legit. I really do. I think Cade Cunningham's is a franchise player. But when you're looking at it, are you going, well, we've got this guy in here, a bit like Zion, where he hasn't played that many games, but this is what he's done when he's been healthy. So that's what we're projecting. And then you're saying, but we're going to overlook these guys because they haven't been healthy. Or the other way of looking at it is they've just forgotten, which I think is more likely the case.
End of the day, though, right? If you had a draft, all 30 teams just put guards on deck now. Yeah. Do you think any of our guys would go in the top 30? I think they'd be in and around the 30.
Yeah. It's a deep list. But I think
that's the thing. You said it at the start, G. There are so many good guards out there. And Gary, you're absolutely right. It's a deep list. There's
they
a lot of
the honourable mentions, list. Though. They should have made the honourable mentions.
I agree. 100%. That's where I think Markel should have been in the honourable mentions.
Why is Jaden Ivey in the honourable mentions?
This projection was done was stats off of Basketball Reference, positional. They also openly said that they use their eyes, that they use their eye test, what they've seen, what they're feeling. So there is some personal objectivity within this list as well.
Hang on, I missed this one. Jalen Williams. Is that Jalen Williams from OKC?
Yep.
I don't want to curse word because this is a family friendly podcast. But what? Is that because he had a good end of season and he ran Paolo close to Rookie of the Year?
He won Rookie of the Year, gee. He won it. He won the
unbelievable. Yeah. They don't watch the Magic, basically. Here we go.
So separate post, they had top three trade targets for each team. Cole, Markel, all got men, and Cole, Markel, Jalen Suggs all got mentioned as players that certain other teams would like and fit in well. I think Cole got mentioned as being somebody who would fit really well in LA, in the Lakers team. Equally getting mentioned was our draft capital, which was assessed as being the seventh best in the league. Our top three targets were listed as being Anthony Simons, Colin Sexton, and D'Angelo Russell. So for a little bit of fun, is there any one of those three that you'd like to see us chase? And if so, why? Let's go with you, Gary.
If you're saying to me I had to pick one, and I wouldn't mind seeing them in Orlando, it would be Anthony Simons.
Yeah.
The other two guys I don't think improve us at all. And I like the competitive edge of Colin Sexton, and I think he's actually become an underrated player, Colin Sexton. But at the same point in time, when you look at what we have, we've already got, like, Cole Anthony, for example, who could do the same job, I think, as Colin Sexton, but is already established in Orlando. And I don't think D'Angelo Russell would get minutes on the Magic, really. You know, he had that great season with the Brooklyn Nets, and then it's kind of fallen back to where he was before. So Anthony Simons, if you said one of those three guys, he could actually be somebody who you'd say would pair well, for example, in a starting backcourt with Markel Fultz. I think they would work well together. But the other two, not for me, Clive. Caught Andy Townsend.
G, as it impacts directly on your favourite guy, is there any of those three that you...
No, I wouldn't trade Markel for any of those. No
not
way.
Not saying trade him.
No. Yeah, but those three guys, no, D'Angelo Russell, I'm of the same opinion as Gary that he doesn't belong on the Orlando Magic. Colin Sexton was a free agent a couple of years ago, if I remember rightly, and we could have possibly picked him up. But like Gary said, you know, he's Cole Anthony 2.0 for me. He's not as good as Cole. So I can't see the logic in going there. Anthony Simons, obviously, he comes with a large salary. 100 million contract signed over four seasons, so that's 25 million per, which obviously would hamper us, shall we say, in seasons to come, if we were to trade for him. But he, like Gary said, for me is the best of those three.
Scoring, isn't it?
It's the scoring, yeah. It's the scoring. I mean, he's a little bit undersized, but, you know, he can get the three off. You know, he's got hops. He can get to the rim. Good player. And, you know, Orlando native.
And I was going to say, and named after a certain legend of our
Anthony
team.
Anthony Dion Hardaway. Yeah.
I'm the same. D'Angelo Russell. I don't see it. And I'm not as harsh about him as you are, G. You've just never been a fan. So Colin Sexton, I can see the argument for, but the weaknesses he has, I don't think we need to take on. And that leaves Mr. Simons, player I really do like, I've got to be honest. Is the right age, great shooting. The one thing that goes against him is the contract that we're going to have in a couple of seasons, two or three big decisions to be making as to what we're paying certain players. And do we need to be saddled with something large at this stage?
I mean, with the salary cap going up, though, and the amount of money being thrown around, you know, Jaylen Brown, what he's getting next couple of season, is 25 million acceptable for someone of that productivity? 21 points a game in 35 minutes, 44% from the field, 37% from downtown. I don't know. And he might get better looks with Paolo and Franz.
I'm going to say, what he does do, this is the argument for him, for me. He takes pressure away from our other players for shooting. Some of the other guys probably get better looks as a result of having somebody like him on the court for the team.
Yeah.
There's an argument for him. It's a huge argument, in my opinion, for him. Of those three, he's the only one I'd really be excited about.
Hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right then, boys. So, to everybody, thank you as always for listening and watching. Please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, where Gary's been quite busy, doing quite a few bits on there, mate. Hit up on X, all Orlando Magic UK. Keep an eye out for the Patreon stuff. We really would appreciate any support that you can give us. And until next week, from Gary, Garam, and myself, go Magic.